I'm telling you right now, you might have to turn the monitor down, Brother Cole. It's ringing. I want to give honor where honor's due, and I'm going to tell you, we've not lost all the giants. And I'm thankful for these two men. My mentors have died. And the ones I've had for a long time. But I'm thankful for people that God put in your life. Amen.
Amen. Right.
Yes. I'm thankful for Brother Pat Nod and Brother Ruttman. Amen. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's Word. I'm not going to keep you very long. But I decided last night, most folks didn't leave until about 1. And then most folks didn't leave till 1. And I made another observation. Everybody that wants to be here is here. Amen.
Yeah.
And so this will be better than cake. I can't say that it'll be better than coffee. But it'll be better than... I'm just kidding. But they had some of that good... where's it from, Miss Stephanie, tonight? Mexico coffee. Amen. Arriba. Amen. Gracias Dios. Amen. Hallelujah, Brother Hibb. Amen. If we had mocajete, we'd be in business, wouldn't we? Amen. Y'all ought to see the dance he does. Amen. 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 I really don't want to keep you long. A little lad had a little lunch. He gave it to a great big Lord who took it, touched it, and transformed it. And fed a large multitude and had a whole lot of leftovers. I wonder what the Lord would do with your lunch if you would get it out of your hands and into the Lord's hands.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Stinnett, John 6:1, and after these things, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them, and they that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He already knows what he's going to do.
Yes.
Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, he's always winning souls.
Yes,
Andrew's never out front, but he's always winning people to Jesus. There is a lad here, which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. They were in the wilderness. They were in a desert place. That's what the other gospel said. And all of a sudden, there's grass. The Bible said they were in a desert. Now there was much grass in the place. Can I tell you, missionaries, that there's going to be times, even in Siberia, you're going to feel like you're in a desert. But there's much grass in this place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Brother Ruttman, would you pray for us, please?
Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you for the first evening. God, I pray for the preacher to keep him from liberty as he preaches the word of God. Lord, I know that it's late and folks get tired. Lord, but I pray that the Spirit of God and the Word of God, Lord, this Lord God, and help us be helpful and alert, Lord God. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord God. I pray you'd challenge us as you have this week in the matter of going. But I pray, God, you'd challenge us in the matter of giving, Lord God. Please, I pray that we commit to thee tonight, even before he starts preaching, that what you deal with our heart about, we're going to come to this altar and make those commitments to you as it's in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. I was in Kansas a couple weeks ago, and God began to deal with my heart about this text, about the fact that the Lord's still looking for a lad. Or for you ladies, he's still looking for a lady too. That's generic right there, if I can use that term. But he's still looking for a lad. And there's a lot of reasons God was able to use this lad. And I begin to look into this, and the Lord just began to make this big in my heart. And I couldn't help but think about our friend, Brother Blue, and all that he poured into us out of this text. I'm probably not going to say anything new that you know, but this is what God put fresh in my heart out of this text. And I'm glad he's still looking for a lad.
Yes.
If he could take the bread and the fishes and break them and feed all these people, he could have spoke the bread and the fishes into existence. He could have looked down at the sea and said, come here, fish. He could have looked down at the stones and said, turn into bread. The devil had told us that. The devil told us he could do that. But Brother Cromwell, he chose to use this lad. Can I report to you that Jesus can do every bit of the need of the Great Commission on His own? But He wants to use us. He's looking to use us. It's not a drudgery to serve God. It's not a drudge and a downplay to serve God. It's the greatest thing He can do it by Himself. He can speak it. He can tell it to happen. But He wants to use the likes of us. And tonight He's looking for a lad. And there's a specific type that He's looking for. The first thing I see is that this lad, if he was going to be able to be used by God, he had to be in a certain place. The Bible says in verse number 9, there is a lad here. You're not going to be used to God if you're there. You got to be here. Everybody in here, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a preacher, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a mama, whether you're a little girl, a little boy that God saved already, every one of us in this building tonight has a here. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be there when I'm supposed to be here. Now you say, where's the here for me, Brother Hewitt? I remember years ago at the camp, Miss Chloe and I think we were just met, maybe. And brother, they announced that Brother Ballou was going to be preaching on how to find the will of God in the next morning service. And I thought, he's going to tell me all the answers. And he got up and told me, I need to be saved, I need to be filled with Spirit, and I need to be separated. Well, I knew that already. And I know we can laugh about that, but all those things are true. But you hear me, there are some general hears for us in the Bible. We ought to be at church every time the church is open. We ought to be at visitation. We ought to be at toilet cleaning day. We ought to be at vacuuming day. I was 12, and they finally told me I couldn't go to the ladies' meetings anymore. I said, you can't come. You're not a lady, and you're not a little boy anymore. Go away. I wanted to go to church. If it's Sunday school, you ought to be here. If it's choir practice, you ought to be here. If it's door knocking, you ought to be here. If it's missions conference, you ought to be here. And if you get here long enough, the Lord will tell you where here is going to be for you. God's not walking around with His will for your life like a donkey and a carrot trying to get you, lead you along. If you'll just get here, He'll put you here. Yeah. It's not mystical. You don't have to shake the magic eight ball. Amen. You don't have to guess. You just get here, and before you know it, He'll tell you exactly where here is for you. It blows. Now, y'all, I'm about to go contrary to what everybody says, so y'all just hold on. God didn't call me to be an evangelist. God called me to preach. And then God, because I got here. I got here when it was time to paint the church, I was here. When it was time to vacuum, I was here. When it was time to go door knocking, I was here. When it was time to shout, I was here. When it was time to sing, I was here. When it was time, to take out the trash, I was here. And before you know it, God showed me where here was for my life. It's that easy. Just get here and God will put you here. That boy couldn't have been used for God if he wasn't here. Amen. If he'd have been off doing anything else, he couldn't have been here. If what you're wanting to do with your life takes you from here, you shouldn't go there. You should stay here. Y'all have heard me tell it. I wanted to be an agriculture teacher. I was a bull rider. I was as far as the world was concerned, I had the tiger by the tail, making all A's, got accepted. I had good scholarships because of my work in the FFA. I mean, I was enjoying it. Was there anything sinful about being an agriculture teacher? Is there anything sinful? Now, there's a lot of sinful things that go around bull riding and rodeoing. But is riding a bull a sin? No. You can't even find that in the concordance. It's not a sin. But was that the here God had for my life? No. Well, it got quiet right there. Where is here for your life? And you'll never know where the here is for your life until you get here. Get here. Anything that takes you away from here and takes you there is not here. And you'll not find here there. You say, that don't make no sense. It made sense. Go back and listen to it. It made plenty of sense. I just want to be here. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Can I testify? Some of y'all are probably thinking, man, I'd like to go there and do that. I ask God weekly, would you let me go live there and do that? Now, has God opened the door for me to go do that, Brother Michael? Absolutely. Has God given me a special door? Not because it's me, but I believe God's given me some type of special door there. But God doesn't want me to move there because that's not my exclusive here. How many of y'all felt the burden for that place when you saw that? Thousands. How many of you preachers would like to go into a field and preach to thousands sitting in the field and do it every week of your life? I mean, that would be great. But as much as I love there and sometimes it's part of my here, that's not all that here is for me. You better get here. If you'll get here, God will show you where here's at. Just get here. Man, that didn't make any sense, did it? It was fun. It was fun while I was talking about it. It was fun. I see that there was a place that he had to get. God's looking for a lad that had a place, and he was in his place. The next thing I want to... He wasn't in his parents here. We don't see his parents in this text. Now, I'm going to talk about his parents in a minute. But young people, eventually, your parents here is great. If they're serving God. Brother Thornsley, I love you're here. I love what you're doing. You're a unique individual. That's an understatement. Say amen. But JP, It was a good, glad day in my life. And this is not rebellion. This is not anything like that. It was a good, glad day in my life when God revealed it unto me that my Father's here was not my here.
Amen.
And God is using your dad's here to prepare you for your here. And until God gives you your specific here, you do everything you can to help him in his here. And when you're doing everything you can to help him in his here, before you'll wake up one day and your here will slap you in the face.
Amen.
You will run headlong into here.
Amen.
God let me teach Sunday school. God let me be the Sunday school superintendent. God let me sing in the choir. Then God let me lead the choir. Then God let me lead the music. Sometimes I would play the piano or the guitar, lead the music, lead the choir, and shout all the same time. God let me paint. God let me take the trash out. God let me clean up junk off of the white carpet. The reason we have white carpet in a church in Georgia where there's red clay is because it was free. Talking about God going into debt. You know why I did that? Because my daddy was in his here. And he's been here for 20 years. And I got headlong in love with my daddy's here and pouring my life as long as God would let me into my daddy's here. And all of a sudden one day I woke up and realized daddy's here wasn't my here anymore, because I woke up one morning and it wasn't a voice from heaven, but it might as well be. God revealed to me his here for me. Just get in your pay. If your parents are serving God, get in their here, serve here until you get a here.
Amen.
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 I see, man, I got to move on. I see the place. At least it's not boring. Amen. Now, where's your here tonight? What are you doing in the here you're at right now? Don't expect God to reveal to you a here when you're not doing anything in the here you're in. You're not being faithful to the here you're at. I see that there's a place he's looking for a lad to use. He had a place. He was looking for a lad to use, and this lad was prepared. There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now there's a good there's a small chance that maybe this boy woke up that morning and he got his Zebco 33 out. And went down to the sea and zzz, zzz. There's a chance. But more than likely, there might have been a daddy that got up that morning.
Come on, think about that.
Before the light of the day, there was a daddy that cared enough about his son. I don't know what my boy will do today, but there's a chance. I heard Jesus is walking around here looking for people to use, and there's a good chance my boy might get here today and meet Jesus, and Jesus might want to use my boy. So I'm going to prepare my son. Daddy said, I'm going to prepare my son to the best of my ability to be ready for here. So daddy went down, right the sleep out of his eyes, and I can imagine, I'm guessing he probably used a net. We know Peter fished with a hook. He didn't have he didn't put no bait on it, but he used a hook, amen. I don't know if he had a Zevco or a cane pole or a bait caster, but he had a hook and a line. Can you imagine that, daddy? Lord, would you give me something to pour into my boy today? God, would you bless us today so I can give my son something? God, I think he's going to go and meet with Jesus today. God, here we go. Lord, I sure would like to help my boy when he gets there today. I sure would like to. I'm not going to be able to be with him, Lord. I'm not always going to be able to hold his hand. I'm not always going to be able to just do things for him. But God, I want him today. He might meet Jesus today, and I want him to be ready.
Yeah.
Same time Mama's getting up. She's going over her psalms in her heart, singing a good song. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Can you see Mama going and getting the axe out of the shed? My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee. Because somebody's got to build a fire.
Right, right.
Because they don't have a gas stove out there in Jerusalem or in at the Sea of Tiberias. Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. She goes over to the kitchen counter and she starts patting out them barley loaves and she starts rolling it out. And Mama goes over there and she opens that oven where she's built that. Boy, the boy's not even up yet, but Daddy's already down there pouring into his son. He's not even up yet. Mama's been up for hours baking and preparing and pouring into that boy. I'm going to tell you right now, that boy was used by God that day because there was somebody in his life that thought enough about that boy that got up early and walked with God and labored and poured into him.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. Oh, glory to God, I'm about to have a spell. Hey, and maybe you say, well, I didn't have a Christian upbringing. Hey, neighbor, there's a preacher somewhere that poured into you. There's a Sunday school teacher there's a soul winner that poured into you somewhere. Hey, whether it's Mama or Daddy, hey, a Sunday school teacher or a cousin or a nephew or whoever it was, I'm glad. Hey, God's got people that are preparing us. Amen. I got to thinking about, now let's just be real. I got to thinking about what Brother Bob was talking about. And I got to asking myself, have I poured enough of Christ into my children that if they were taken tomorrow,
think about it,
that they'd be able to find Him without me? I know people don't want to talk about that. I know people don't want to talk like that. But there's a big church out in California. The government might as well seize their building because they can't use it right now. I'm not going to judge that man. I'm not going to judge harshly because I don't want God to put me in that situation for that judgment of harshness to come back around to me. I don't want, Brother Kaiser, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to go through that scenario. Got a friend of mine out there, the city government promised that if you have church again, we're coming to take your children. They were making plans on who was going to hide their children in the church so the government couldn't find them. I don't want to go in America. I don't want to face that. But if I have to, I know we pour Hollywood into our children, and we pour education into our children. And we pour sports into our children. And we pour careers into our children. But are we pouring Christ?
Yeah, come on.
Are we pouring this? Are they, if they were all taken tomorrow, do they have enough God poured into them? Has somebody got up early? Has somebody stoked the fire? Has somebody caught the fish? Has somebody patted out the bread? It's enough so that our children could still and will be used by God on the other side of what He talked about tonight.
Yeah.
I venture to say most of y'all don't vaccinate. I venture to say most of the young people in here aren't in public school. You reckon they're going to come down on that? I wonder if we built any fires. I wonder if we padded out any bread. The reason people don't want to hear what He's got to say is because they don't have the guts to admit that it's going to happen. And they don't want to face it. And they want to live in a dreamland. Instead of preparing.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes,
Joseph was a prepper. I have no problem saying that I'm a prepper. I have enough food in my camper right now to feed my family for several months.
Amen.
That ain't easy because I live in a camper.
Yes, sir. Right.
I have practiced skills to physically provide for my family when this house of cards falls. How sad would it be if I could give them food and shelter and I'm not giving them this.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. That's good. You're right.
That's good.
Yep.
I can't keep my children from the far country. They have a free will. Unfortunately, they're in the same flesh that I'm in. I can't keep them from the far country. But Brother Upman, I can do my best to keep the far country from my children.
That's right, man.
They're not here, brother.
Oh. I think it's Brother Bartels that said, asked last night, how do we keep our children, you know, in the ministry? And I haven't figured it all out. I've got young children as well. But I know this. There's been men in my life that made the ministry look like the best thing since sliced bread. And I just think if I put it in front of my children, that's all they know.
Yes.
Oh, your children live in a camper. And they don't get to go to school. And they're missing out in social That's the point. By the way, I'm for social distancing. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, somebody say amen. I'm for it. I want to keep it in front of them. Hudson Taylor heard about China from a missionary in his parents' parlor at 8 years old.
Right.
8 years old! I wish she wasn't in here, but she's in here. Maybe she's playing with poo and not paying attention. We've never emphasized India. We don't talk about India. We may have two missionaries that we pray for as our missionary of the day. From India. And Brother James saw our box. We don't just have a couple of missionaries. We have hundreds of missionaries. But Brother Michael, if you go and ask her what she wants to do with her savings that she's saving up, she's going to tell you, number one, she wants these cupcake dolls. Number two, she's going to tell you that she... Am I telling it right? No prompting. Brother James asked her. She's going to tell you she's not even saved yet. She's going to tell you that she wants to have an orphanage in India and she wants to do mission work in Africa and China.
Amen.
You ain't going to learn that on the Disney Channel.
Right.
You aren't going to learn that at the ball field. You say, well, they learn character there. What do you think Jesus is going to teach them?
Yeah, right.
Amen. Yeah. I play ball. I play football. I rodeoed. I played basketball for 6 years. I know y'all don't believe that. And then I left the Christian League and had to start playing against black boys, and I realized I was the wrong color to play basketball. It just is what it is. I'm vertically challenged. Amen. But tonight, the greatest thing we can prepare our children for is to serve Christ.
Absolutely.
Some of you mamas sitting here, I can't ever go to the mission field. Hogwash.
Amen.
Y'all know that word?
Amen.
You know, the greatest mission field is laying their head in your lap right now.
That's right.
Amen.
Mama, that's your hair.
Amen.
You ain't got to pray about it. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
You get mad. When you said, I do, if you'll follow what the Bible says, that the women are to be keepers at home,
yes.
You don't even have to pray about it.
Yes.
You don't even, you say, oh, you're a sexist and I can't believe you. God honors His word. Here we go. I'm already on Twitter for this, so here we go. We lost our country when Mama went to work. We have not won a war in America since Mama went to work.
That's right.
I'm going to let that sink in. We had laws against sodomy in America before Mama went to work.
That's right.
We had masculine men and didn't have a hippie movement until Mama went to work.
Yeah. And no matter what they do,
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, 1950, there was over 100,000 missionaries being sent out of America to foreign souls. There was 3.5 billion people on the planet in 1950. Today, 2021, there's over 7.9 billion people on our planet. And there's less than 32,000 missionaries leaving our shores going to others. And they're coming home quicker than they're going. And I'm going to tell you right now, it stems because we don't have any missionaries in the home anymore. My daddy taught me how to throw a ball. My daddy didn't teach me how to shoot a gun because he's a bad shot. Hey, daddy. Or hey, daddy, wherever the camera's at tonight. And he's got horns. He's getting, amen. I saw my daddy shoot 6 arrows at the same buck one morning and finally threw his bow at the buck so it would run off and he could get out of the tree. So he didn't teach me to shoot. Somebody else did. My daddy taught me how to work. My daddy taught me how to do a lot of things. That's the greatest thing. I didn't get up on Sunday morning. I wonder what we're going to do today. My daddy, there's this word, this foreign word that my daddy told me quite often growing up. No. I'm going to tell you, we got to prepare them. You know what I'm going to quit doing? I'm going to quit walking up to young people and saying, what are you going to do with your life? I'm done with it. I'm not doing that anymore. It's the wrong question. I'm going to start walking up to young people, whether mamas and daddies like it or not. And I'm going to start saying, what does God want you to do with your life?
Amen.
He was prepared. I hope everybody still loves me now. He had a place. There was a price. In verse 11, Jesus took the loaves and likewise distributed them. Andrew, listen to this. Andrew belittled what that young man had. It didn't mean much to Andrew because it was so small. But it was all that boy had. For that, well, I'm about to get ahead of myself. It was all that boy had. See, here's the problem. We look at things and say, man, that's not enough. What's the first thing Jesus did with it? He broke it. What we think is too small for God to use, turns out it's too big for God to use. It's right there in the text. Jesus gets it in his hands and thinks, well, this is just too big. I'm going to have to break it up. That's what it'll do to us too. See, the problem is we think what we have is too little for God to use. But the truth is, it's really way too big for God to use. And he's going to have to break us into small pieces. And the more people, I'll never forget it, sitting in the parking lot of the Kroger in Calhoun, Georgia, in tears in my truck. And I called Brother John Dorsey, who buried a wife at 19 years old. And I called him, Brother James, and I said, the doctors have told us we're going to lose this one too. The doctor said, there's twins, and we may lose both of them. And Miss Chloe might be in danger this time. They're saying that one of them may be already dead. And she did die. He said, the more that God can break you, and the more pieces he can break you into, the more he can pass you out. That's not what everybody's going to have to go through to serve God. It's just not. Not everybody's going to have a son that's going to have 18 brain surgeries. Not everybody's going to bury a son on the mission field. Not everybody's going to have a daughter that has to go through medical trauma before you can even go to your field. Not everybody's going to have a little boy that's going to have back surgery. Not everybody's going to have to do that. But if our Savior is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, what makes us think that we're going to be get to used in his service and not be people of sorrows and acquainted with grief?
You think, I don't have much to give him. Give it to him and he'll do more with it than you've ever dreamed.
Yes.
I used to look at other people and I thought, man, they've got so much more going for them. They're better looking. Say amen.
Amen.
They can play the guitar better. They can play the piano better. They can sing better. They articulate better. They're not losing their hair. Now, I do have a better beard than them. But that's why I have to draw a line somewhere. Amen. Brother Thorns, I used to look around whatever all the lunches everybody else had. And then I finally quit looking at everybody else and realized that the Lord's ready to use my lunch if I just quit looking at everybody else's and give it to him. I done got all of my outline. I'm sorry. He had a place. He was prepared. There was a price. He is no fool. He is no fool to give that which you cannot keep.
Yeah.
To keep which you cannot lose. He was peculiar. I got that nailed down, don't I? I got this part nailed down. Peculiar. You say, what do you mean, like Brother Chris? Nobody else had a lunch like this boy had. God, can I break up something here? Brother Cromwell was talking about how you don't just have to be a church planter to be a missionary. If Aquila and Priscilla weren't missionaries, I don't know what a missionary is. The last time I checked, neither Aquila nor Priscilla were preachers. The Bible doesn't say. As far as we know, they never preached a message. There's a fellow named Apollos who ended up being like the Apostle Paul for the second generation of the church. Does anybody know who won that firebrand of a preacher that set the woods on fire? Eventually, people were arguing who was greater and who was of who.
They were, yeah.
Comparing him with Paul.
Right.
Does anybody know who won him to the Lord? Aquila and Priscilla. There are people here that you've come into this meeting and you've already exempted yourself from missions because you may not be a preacher. Show me in the Bible where you have to be a preacher to be a missionary. We have cut 3/4 of Christendom out of the opportunity to serve God in missions because they don't have a certificate of preaching on the wall. That's dumber than a box of hammers. I'm from Appalachia. Hey, man, I don't know how to say it any better. Dumber than a mud fence. Anyways. We've cut ourselves short. And there's people in this building that would be phenomenal missionaries, and you've not even given what he preached last night or what he's talked about or what these others have talked about. You've not even given it a second thought because you're not called to preach. Oh, I'm out of this. I'm just come and listen.
Preach it, brother.
Show me.
Right.
I want to see a Bible verse.
Because
you know what? You know what Brother Michael Thornsley loves at his church? He likes having somebody there to lead the singing and to play the piano and to help in Sunday school. And do they have to be preachers to do any of that? Do you have to be a preacher at your church to clean the toilet? Do you have to be a preacher here to vacuum? I know this is going to shock everybody. Do you have to be a preacher out of this church to go door knocking? Now, if that works here in Indiana, now I just found out it works in 2 churches here in Indiana. We're not even below the Mason-Dixon line. That's not even a southern thing. Y'all hold on now. If it works here that a mechanic or a housewife or a, heaven forbid, a teacher or a carpenter who's never been called. If that works here, why couldn't it work? Here we go. In Zimbabwe. Why couldn't it work in Zambia? Why couldn't it work in Ghana? Why couldn't it work in the island? Highlands, where Brother David Ballinger labored for 7 years before he saw his first convert. And he's the Sunday school teacher, and he's the instrument player, and he's the song director, and he's the door knocker, and he's the toilet cleaner, and he does everything there. And what a blessing it would be if he had another Christian family that would come alongside and say, we're not here to lead, we're here to serve, because if our church back home needs that, surely every church on the field needs that. You have a peculiar gift, and just because you're not a preacher doesn't mean you're second class in the body of Christ. You can be a missionary too. Woo! Well, that's a burden off my heart. You can be a missionary too. And if it's bothersome to you, show me a verse after church, and I'll eat my crow while it's hot. Am I all right? You're peculiar. God let you be raised by Mike Thornsley. Bless your heart. Caleb, you got a daddy. I'm not just saying this. He's one of the smartest men intellectually that I've ever met in my life. That man could be doing whatever he wanted to be doing. And God made him your daddy. And he poured into you and is still pouring into you. And God didn't do that by accident. You Kaiser kids, I've been to your house. You've got some good parents. I say Kaiser kids, and 15 people looked at me. In all seriousness, God's put something special into you. Amen.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody like Richard Hibner. Aren't y'all glad of that?
Yeah.
But your daddy loves people. And God lets you be raised by me.
Yes.
Loves
people. Amen.
And that's peculiar. And God's put something into y'all that God's not put into everybody else. And God didn't put that into y'all. God didn't put that into y'all. Waste it. Quit looking at what you don't have and look what God has put in your sack. Look what God's put in your basket and do something with it. Glory to God. My granddaddy's never preached a message. I mean, never pastored a church. He's never, to my knowledge, preached a revival. But y'all happen to know what I do? I go around the country and the world and, you know, knock on doors and witness to people. It's kind of my job. I remember as a six-year-old boy getting in the car with my granddaddy on a Thursday night. We drove up to the church and nobody else showed up for visitation. And granddaddy said, well, we'll go on together. And we took a left out of the church and we took a right onto this little pig trail road, and there was an iron gate house. He thought we'd get a couple of houses that night. He pulled up that long driveway, knocked on the door. This is in the 90s. So he said, we're here from Cochran Ridge Baptist Church. We'd love to talk to you about the Word of God. And I said, why don't y'all come on in? And I remember as a six-year-old boy, I wasn't even saved yet. By the way, that's how old my daughter is now, six. I remember that family bringing us in and setting us down at their coffee table and turning the TV off, and the kids come in, and my granddaddy opened his pocket New Testament and he began to witness to these people and preach the gospel to them in their living room. And I watched that daddy get saved that night.
Amen.
Y'all reckon that may have had a little impact on me? I got something special. You've got something special.
Amen.
Start using it for God.
Amen.
The last thing I see is the pleasure of getting to serve God.
Yeah.
There's results. There's immediate results.
Right.
This wasn't the Lord's lunch. It was the lad's lunch. God could have done it on his own. He could have done it by himself. But he chose to use that lad, and there was results. There was long-lasting results. They took up baskets and baskets and baskets and baskets and baskets and baskets. It didn't just minister to the people that day. It ministered to people long after this day was gone.
Right. Amen, Richard. That's right.
You know what? We don't even know this boy's name.
That's right.
But, Brother Ruckman, I can't help but think maybe tonight in heaven, if this boy, I believe he got saved. I believe there was faith enacted that day. You can argue with Brother Hibner about dispensational salvation after church. Go ahead. Complaint department, amen. I don't know what's going on in heaven tonight, but this boy is being preached about again.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we all he's a lad. We don't know his age specifically. We don't know his name. We don't know where he's from. If it wasn't for John, we wouldn't even know who gave it.
Right.
Yeah. Little bitty. But tonight, I don't know if he gets some kind of crown or reward because his faithfulness and his obedience and his preparedness is being recited once again and making a difference once
Amen.
Again.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, that's
you want an internal impact? Quit holding your lunch. Quit holding it back and put it into God's hands tonight. If Brother Blue could be here, and he wouldn't come back for nothing. God doesn't want your wallet in here. God doesn't want your music. He doesn't want your smokes. I don't think anybody in here smokes, but I have to hit it anyways because I'm a Baptist preacher. You know what God wants in this plate? He wants you. You know what? If he's got you, he won't have to worry about all the other stuff. So tonight, who's going to quit being stingy? Who's going to quit trying to compare yourself to others and talk about what you don't have and start realizing what you do really have? Who's going to get here tonight? That's the first step, really. Is getting here. Get here. Some of us parents need to take heed to what was preached earlier and then what was preached here. We need to start preparing. Salstead, heads are bowed. Miss Whitson, do you mind playing tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you come? I'm not going to give a big drawn-out altar call tonight. Some of you need to get here tonight. Some of you need to start preparing tonight. Some of you need to realize you don't have to be a preacher to be a missionary. Need to come give your life to Christ tonight. Would you come? Would you come?
Try.
Just come on. Need to get here this evening. You'll never get here until you get here. Mom and Daddy, maybe tonight you need to come get in this altar and say, I'm going to start pouring these things into my children. Poured everything else into them. Made big of everything else, but tonight I want to make big of Christ and the gospel. I'll never remember learning John 3:16. It's just always been in my heart because I've never known a day where it wasn't real in my life and known in my life. Would you come?
For those of you who don't know me, I'm from Pastor Kaiser's church. My name's Doug DeKreider. I'm a music director over there. And we've been involved with the tent revivals, and we went to the other missions conference last year at Brother Red's church, and the Lord pricked my heart after seeing the videos on Papua New Guinea, and he really pricked my heart about maybe that's where you need to be. And he, at that meeting, he tore down some walls. He said, you know, that job that you have, it's just a job. I gave you that job, and I could give you another one if you need it, but maybe you don't need it. I can supply all your needs. And that house that you have that you just paid off, it's just a house. There's plenty of them out there. There's plenty of mud huts that you can live in too. So the Lord worked on me about the material. But I had other walls built up because I'm the music guy. I'm not a preacher. You know, and I enjoy what I do, and you know, I told the Lord, you know, I'm willing to go, but you know, missionaries go and they plant churches, and part of being a missionary is preaching. And that's not really what I've been called to do, I don't think. But you know, if the Lord wants me to preach, then so be it. He's going to have to do it though. But really, tonight, just, you know, the Lord uses everybody. And he, just like you said, you don't have to be a preacher. And whether that means that he calls me to preach and makes me a preacher, or whether I'm called to travel all across the world just to lead a song or two, I'll do it for him.
Amen.
And we'll do it for him, because he kind of stuck with me. So we're surrendered to, at this point, I believe, Papua New Guinea.
Amen.
By God's grace, he'll send us there.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Worth every dime, church.
Yes.
Worth every penny.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just afraid to move or say anything, to be quite honest with you. Oh. I know there's been folks in our church who prayed, probably some who've missed a meal or two. I ask the Lord to bless the meeting. And I will tell you what, I believe the Lord has dropped some handfuls of purpose for us tonight. I just say, bless his name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Amen.
For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I bless his name tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I sure hope that every person in here tonight, from the front row all the way to the back row, I really hope you've listened. I know we had several folks who come. I know we had some folks who didn't come. The preacher of the Lord wouldn't use me. Well, some of you young folks, you never know. He just might.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He just might. Amen. Amen. How many of you got help tonight?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you didn't get help tonight, something is dreadfully wrong.
Right.
I sure appreciate the men of God who've stood in this pulpit tonight and who've helped us out of the Word of God. I appreciate so much God moving and working. I sure do. But I'll say this, the Lord didn't say to go through Tuesday night. He said to go all the way through Thursday. So, I mean, pardon my East Tennessee, he ain't done yet, meeting ain't over. Amen. They is still more to see what the Lord's going to do. Amen. 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 Well, all hearts and minds clear tonight. Anybody else? Yes, sir. No, you go ahead. You go ahead, brother. That's right. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Hey, man. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Brother Hall and I were talking earlier today. There was a gentleman who worked, was it for Bilo? As a butcher. Took his retirement, and him and his dear wife went to and served. So, you know, and his wife just went home to be with the Lord here just recently and said, so, just, you know, you never know. That's right. That is right. Yes, sir. And did not try to memorize a verse until he was what in his was in his 50s. That's exactly right. Whew. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
He was burning Kate Saunders.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my. Amen. Amen. Well, we ought to tell you what we are going to. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Crider. Yeah. You please do, brother. Yeah.
Here, let me get you this.
Most of you don't know me, but I'm a member of Pastor Kaiser's church. And when I was younger, I was in the insurance business and just getting to the point where it started to be profitable. And I knew from hanging around other insurance agents and being taught in the industry that it was could be very profitable. And I was looking forward to a good life in that. And then after I got saved, the Lord just put his hand on me, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to go full-time into the into his service. And so I left the insurance business and I went to Bible college and I met my wife. The Lord gave me a good wife 2 months after I got saved. And he wouldn't let me ruin a good gal before I got saved. So I got saved and went to Bible college and all. And then I was asked by a pastor to consider going to Goshen, Indiana, and I went to Goshen and started a small church. We were sent out by a church up north that I had gone to after Bible college, and I pastored there for 11 years. It was a small church, and, you know, by numbers, we didn't do anything, but I was just faithful and tried to do what the Lord had me do, and my wife got a brain tumor, and so she passed away in 2003, and I believe it was in 2005 that we went over to Russia, and when the Prangers were going back from Jim and Laura Pranger from a furlough they'd had here in this country, and I'd gotten to know the Prangers when I'd seen them at several churches and went to some missions meetings, and just like this, you go to more than one mission conference, and if you're not careful, the Lord will speak to you. And so the Lord really impressed on my heart that the best thing that I could do is go to Russia and try to work with them for a month and take Doug with me. So Doug, that just got up here and said what he did. We went over to Russia. We went to Siberia where the Prangers were, and we worked with them for a month. And Brother Pranger was very gracious to me, extremely gracious. He let me preach every single service from the first Sunday that we got there, that Sunday night, until the week that we left. And I'm not a very strong person, emotionally, I'm just not real strong. And the night that we left, I had a terrible struggle. I mean, I broke down badly because I love those people. And I didn't really want to leave them. And while we were over there, I said, God, do you want me to come over here? Do you want me to be a missionary to Russia? And I really didn't know. And I was praying, and I said, God, just show me. And it was very interesting that here I was. I'd been widowed for 2 years, and I had a son who was 12 years old at the time. And I said, God, I don't know. I don't know if I'm set up to handle this or not. I don't know if I could be a missionary, a single man, and with a boy in school and all that. And I really prayed about it. And one day we were out on a soccer field, if you can call it that. It was an old wooden like floor, like a gymnasium, that half the boards were missing, and boys playing soccer could actually fall right through the floor. But that's the way it is over there. And anyway, James, the pranger's son, who's now also a missionary in Krasnoyarsk, Russia, but James was about Doug's age. And so the boys were playing soccer, and James could speak fluent Russian. And Doug and one of the Russian boys got into it, and they started to scuffle and started fighting and all that. And of course, this Russian kid was scrappy. He was, you know, like a street kid. And through that, what happened, if James hadn't been there, I don't know what would have happened. But James was able to mediate and break up the fight between Doug and this Russian kid. And the Lord just used that to show me, you're not ready. You know, you're not ready for this field. You'd have to learn Russian. There's so many things you'd have to do. And without a wife to help me, because I saw, good night, what Mrs. Pranger could do. And when we were over there, there were times when we couldn't get the visas approved, and we spent all day going down to Magadan, going to the government offices, trying to get everything approved. And at the end of the day, when we came home, Brother Pranger called the whole family in the living room, and he said, we've got 24 hours to get out of the country. And Mrs. Pranger just got up and went in the kitchen and started putting things in boxes. I mean, it just blew my mind. I couldn't imagine a woman who, you know, she just made a home. They just came back from a furlough, and they'd been there for I don't know how many years, you know, starting a church, building up a little church there, and then to just be able to handle it like that, she just went in and started packing things up. And I thought, God, I don't think I could handle this without a wife. You know, how would I even be able to feed Doug and everything else? I mean, I'm no cook. And anyway, so God did not let me go to Russia then to be a missionary. And since that time, I've tried other things. I actually came back. I was searching for a church, but being single, I just really believe that it's not the wisest thing to try to pastor a church when you're single. And for a while I tried. I didn't want to give it up. And the Lord finally just kept working in my heart. And I finally just surrendered. And I said, okay, God, if I never have a church again, I don't care. It's not the title, pastor and all that. I don't care. Just let me be a soul winner for the rest of my life.
That's good, brother. That's good.
So I've just tried to be faithful. And I've tried to take every opportunity I can to witness to people.
Amen,
and I've tried to set an example for my kids so that they'd love the Lord.
Amen.
And they would realize that to Dad, the most important thing in the world is the souls of men. That's
Amen.
All you can take to heaven. You can't take anything else, and nothing else you build down here on this earth is worth it. You know, and so that's just been my goal, my life. Since then, I've tried to help my pastor and tried to do what I can for him in the church. And right now, I think the Lord's really been speaking to me about what he wants me to do. I retired a year ago, and I'm just trying to figure out what the Lord wants me to do right now. But I just thank you so much for being faithful, all of you. I thank these missionaries. I thank these other pastors. And, you know, I get so blessed every time I go to these meetings. And when Brother Hibner came to Shelbyville, I went down to his evening services, midweek services, a couple times just to let him know that I was praying for him and really hoped that God would bless him there in Shelbyville and do a work there. And you other men in the tent services that we've had have been such a blessing to me. And I just want to say thank you, you know. And you'll never know what a blessing it was to me tonight. I came forward to pray. The Lord just urged me to go forward. I don't always go up to the altar, but I came forward tonight and knelt down and I started praying. And then I heard somebody praying next to me. And when I heard him pouring out his heart to God, I realized that's my son. And I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, I feel like I'm more blessed than most people in this world. Because my grandson and I go out twice a week on visitation and witnessing to people. And we've called on people that live in million-dollar homes, and we've called on people that live in shacks. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I don't care what kind of a house, a mansion, or anything else. I wouldn't trade what I've got for anything else anybody's got. I mean, you could give me all of Elon Musk or Bill Gates' money, and I'd say take it. If I have to go to hell to get that, it's not worth it. And I just want to say thank you to everybody, all of you men. Just keep it up. Because there are people sitting in the back of every audience that's where you preach and where you speak and all that's done. And they might never say anything and not come forward. I don't come forward very often, and I don't get into other men's services that are holding services. I don't really want the attention or anything, but God's working in their hearts. And even if you don't see it that night or that week, you can be sure that God's working in their hearts, and it's happening. And some of the things that you've mentioned that have happened this year and happened recently in your travels, they started a long time ago. I'm just glad he never got discouraged. I'm glad you didn't get discouraged. I know a little bit about Brother Thornsley and his background, and I'm glad you didn't get discouraged. No, I should change that. He did get discouraged. I know he did at times, but I'm glad he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He kept going.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Appreciate that willing heart. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Miss Stephanie, if you want to take some of our young, all our young folks over here and help Miss Stephanie, if you would. Hannah, Sarah, Charity, Savannah, do that. Yeah, Blaze, you too. We need a strong back, son. There we go. All right. The other thing is, too, we've had several people ask about an offering. There are some people who want to give to the meeting, and we want to be a blessing to you. So, Caleb and David, come up here if you would. Amen. All righty.
Brother John, ask people to go by and get flyers for the camp.
Yeah.
Send an email for registration. It's all on the flyer.
Yes, if you'll go by Brother Hewitt's table and get a flyer for the camp the week of June the 7th and register there. I know that'll be a huge, huge blessing to you, all right? Amen. Amen. Brother Wilson, won't you ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, brother?
Bless this offering, Lord. If you take it, it's not going to be used. We need to meet, not that you know what it means.
Amen. 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 We have one more thing to do while they're taking the offering up. You'll go ahead and play, please. So, amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. Now, we had our young folks during that time go ahead and give out some bags and stuff. Did anybody get left out of that? Amen. All right. Nate said he got left out. All right. Now, the only way you're going to get anything is you got to do that little thing you did at youth rally the other night, brother. All right. Amen. All right. Any of the missionaries, we want to make sure that the ladies had something, the family, the couples had something, and then the young folks. All right. Anything at all? All right. Amen. Well, I say bless the Lord tonight for what he's done tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. 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 Well, I praise the Lord, brother. Amen, brother. I know what our home church does for Missions Conference, and I wish we could incorporate a lot of that, and sometimes I feel like we fall so far short of being able to give to the missionaries like I would like.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not worthy to dust the shoes. I'm 48 years old. You listening to me? I don't feel like I'm worthy to dust the shoes of a man like Brother Bartels, 23 years old, going to Russia. That's the way I feel. And if anybody else feels like you are, then God bless you. I just don't feel like it. And we want to try to give as much good as we can be. Missionaries, listen, y'all are our heroes. Amen. Brother Hewitt said before, heroes don't wear capes, they carry Bibles. I say amen to that. Y'all are our heroes. Young folks, I want you to look around. I want you to look at these missionaries. These are the people you look up to.
Amen.
Are they perfect? No, they're not perfect. Just like your mom and daddy and your preacher and everybody else, not perfect either. They ain't perfect. Amen. They're made out of the same wicked, rotten stuff you're made out of. Amen. But I want to tell you something. They've heard. They've heard the call not to stay.
Amen.
And they're going. Amen. All righty. Well, I want to tell you, y'all are here. I'm glad you're here. And we're going to be here tomorrow night and Thursday night. If you can come back and be with us, we'd love to have you come back. All right. I know y'all be in your home churches who are visiting with us tomorrow. So, amen. Now, if you remember here, where are you going to be? That's right, here. That's right. Hey, man. Where are you going to be Thursday night if you remember at? Here. Hey, man, if you remember here, you'll be here. All right. Amen. All right. That's right. All right. All hearts and minds clear. All right. We'll just say in fear of the Lord, you're at liberty. Lord bless you. Go by the tables over here. Get prayer cards, etc. Camp flyers.
You don't have to be a young person.
Yes, you can be young at heart. Amen. And if your heart's a little older, we'll take you as well. All right. God bless you.